Hysteria is brought to you by Quince. Who doesn't love the good things in life? Even though I enjoy a little luxury, it doesn't mean I can always afford it until I discovered Quince. Quince is my go-to for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach, like washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I have two tops from Quince, and as I was reading this ad copy, I was realizing that I need to refresh my wardrobe basics and staples because a lot of them have just fallen into disrepair. And I would like to refresh with something that makes me feel good, something that looks good, and something that isn't going to cause my husband to have a coronary when he sees yet another package arrive at our front door. I swear, no, it's like half as much as it's supposed to be. Don't worry, it's fine. I need this. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/hysteriapod for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hysteriapod to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/hysteriapod.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And I'm Erin Haynes.
Yep. That's Erin Haynes, editor-at-large of the 19th News, here to guest host this week and next. Before we get to anything else, Erin, we've been texting about it. We've been talking about it. This is your moment. This is your moment. We need to talk about Beyoncé.
Yes. Hello, listeners and Cowboy Carter fans only. That's all we care about. This week was the perfect kickoff to Black History Month. Beyoncé finally winning album of the year for Cowboy Carter and also announcing the Cowboy Carter tour. I mean, what a time to be alive. You know, that's really in so many ways. But yes, in a great way, Beyoncé finally getting her due. I mean, congratulations, Grammys, to catching up to Beyoncé's excellence. But whatever. We're here. I'm going to celebrate this. I'm going to take this as a win. She looked great. She sounded great. Her speech was great. And just, you know, it was a feel-good moment.
It was a feel-good moment. Also, I have to ask, one, what city are you going to go to see the tour in?
I know. I'm really debating this. And listeners, if you have a suggestion for where I should go see this, please let me know. I am in Atlanta. The last Beyoncé concert I went to was in Atlanta, and it was epic. Renaissance. Yes, that's right. It was amazing. And it was good to go in Atlanta. And also Atlanta's in the summer, and also it's on 7-Eleven. I don't have to tell you, Beyoncé fans, what that means. But also, like, Vegas would be amazing. I feel like Houston is too much pressure.
Too much pressure for Houston. Them, so. Also, hometown crowd, they should have access to all the tickets.
That's probably true, yes.
But exactly. it's only what, like, six stops?
Oh, no. There's a Paris and a London stop, two people. I mean, it's too much. It's too much. It's too much to contemplate.
This well, you know what? In the world we have been living in, this was the joy that we needed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
This week, Erin and I talk about why DEI is still in the headlines, more abortion news, including some gross shenanigans around HIPAA laws, Elon Musk continues to muck around in the government, we talk about the Super Bowl and why Jalen Hurts is the best, and also for Sani Petty, Black History Month. Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that's thrilled for Joe Biden's big Hollywood dreams. Erin, what did you think when you saw that Joe Biden had signed with CAA?
Yes. Well, I mean, re-upped again with CAA. I mean...
We're both at CAA,
also,
right?
Also my home, your home. you know, what was wild, you know, it was wild to kind of get in the Wayback Machine when they were talking about, you know, his previous run at CAA. He had a 42-date book tour. Are we going to see that again? Probably not. He's probably not the same Joe Biden that could do a 42-date tour.
I swear to God. Well,
so
that was an interesting Hollywood Reporter news break, among all the other news that we've been getting for the last couple of weeks. I was like, oh, okay, he's back at CAA.
Back at CAA, doing what? TBD.
Let's see. You want to know something else that's kind of crazy, Erin?
Something else.
You ready?
That the answer could be so many things, but hit me.
Trump has only been in office for 17 days. The amount of chaos sown is unbelievable. Every time we wake up, it's like, this happened. And then by the end of the day, when I'm in the kitchen making dinner, it's like, actually, that got fixed, or that didn't happen, or he changed his mind. So you really do, I swear, as a woman of a certain age, my cortisol levels are, like, off the charts, and my fight or flight is pretty high. So I do have to, like, mute the news in the morning because it seems like the worst of it happens between 9 and noon. Then he must have his hamburger, and it settles him down a little bit, and then maybe things sort of lighten up a little bit in the afternoon, but don't know. But we learned from his first administration that President Trump thrives on exclusion. Yes, he does. And now in his second administration, he has an even more straightforward path to execute on his desire to discriminate. Erin, last week you wrote a magnificent piece titled Who Trump's America Leaves Out for your column in the 19th. Can you tell us what prompted you to write it?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, you can't see it, but I, yes, am definitely experiencing whiplash mm-hmm. on a daily basis, hourly basis at this point, because there is just so much happening. And I know it's a lot for all of us to process. It's a lot for me to process as a journalist. So I can only imagine how those of us who are, you know, actually checking back into the news, it's like, whoa, so much is happening. I mean, not even on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis in these first 17 days. So, I mean, yeah, that was kind of how I went into thinking about the column I wrote for The Amendment, my newsletter. I was thinking, I mean, like, we literally started, you know, his first day in office, Inauguration Day, coincides with Martin Luther King Day, and he's mm-hmm. talking about, you know, kind of giving lip service to unity and, like, this idea of a colorblind meritocracy. But by the end of the week, you've got all these executive orders where he is basically like, no, actually, I am trying to restore, you know, white, cis, heterosexual men to their rightful place in America. And, you know, whoever does not fit that description is not necessarily part of what he means when he talks about American greatness. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I mean, how many times have we heard the phrase diversity is our strength when we talk about this country? And yet now, I mean, there could not be a more opposite message coming out of many corners of this administration, but obviously from, you know, our commander-in-chief, that's not something that we need to prioritize, that representation does not matter, or that mm-hmm. is not a thing that matters for him in so many of our institutions that we know. You know, if we are not intentional about including people,
right,
and making sure that, you know, our institutions look like the rest of the country, like, that is something that used to be seen as valuable, used mm-hmm. to be seen, I mean, just a few years ago, we were reckoning with the idea that this was valuable and important and a thing that needed to happen. And it just feels like already we are in such a different place. And so, really, I mean, we're already at a point in this administration where he is attempting to define who gets to be an American and mm-hmm. who gets to participate in public life.
Who and who does get to be an American?
I mean, if you are a white man, you know, of a certain constitution, then pardon the pun there with the Constitution. But I mean, that's exactly it. Like, that's who gets to be American.
And here's a question for you. You write a lot. You were writing all through the election this past cycle. Mm-hmm. You interviewed Kamala Harris more than I think any other journalist. How are you approaching your writing, your reporting now in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty clear to me kind of going into the election and coming out of the election, regardless of what the outcome was going to be, that this moment in our politics in so many ways really feels like the unfinished business of the 19th Amendment, right? Like, I, you know, work for a newsroom that is literally named for the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, which, as I'm sure I don't have to tell anybody in here, guaranteed the right to vote for some, but not all women, right? White women. And that the work of the 19th Amendment is still very much an experiment in our democracy, right? Mm-hmm. And that amendment was about who gets to have power and who gets to have agency, not just at the ballot box, but really as a full citizen and participant in American life. So, you know, what does that look like now that we are on the other side of this election, as we are seeing governing, but also as we are seeing policy play out in the lives of voters, whether they voted for this president, whether they did not, whether they didn't vote at all, right? Like,
right.
Like the choices that were made by, you know, the majority of the electorate are affecting everyone. And so what does that look like? What does that mean for questions of gender equality and democracy, for example? Mm-hmm. And what does that mean for who gets to be an American, how people get to participate in American life, in public life, right? Like,
right.
Like who is emboldened by the rhetoric and policy that we are seeing, and who is showing up to push back against notions that people's dignity and humanity should be up for grabs.
Right. I mean, speaking of dignity and humanity, one of the more depressing and disgusting tweets we saw last night was from Nancy Mace. I think you and I were texting about it, who said they should turn Gaza into Mar-a-Lago. It's like the wrong people are emboldened for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, just I'm thinking a lot. We just have to remember, because there's so many. I mean, you got all these alphabets, USAID, DEI, DOJ, all these FBI, all these institutions. Like, there are people behind these institutions. There are people behind these policies. And, like, this is having a real-life impact and a real-time impact on people. So, like, continuing, yes, we are absolutely paying attention to and covering what he and his administration are doing, but people on the receiving end of these actions and this rhetoric, like, that's really what matters.
Speaking of rhetoric, last week, we all witnessed, on television, the tragic plane crash at Washington National Airport. The family of the female Black Hawk helicopter pilot requested that the Army keep her name a secret for privacy reasons. Now, Aaron, why would they feel that her name had to be withheld for privacy reasons? Well, we don't need to dig too deep. At the first, the Army obeyed, but then naturally a spiral of disinformation and conspiracy about DEI policies and the identity of the pilot began. This included a rumor that a transgender pilot from the Virginia National Guard named Joe Ellis, who had nothing to do with the plane crash, was responsible. This led to Ellis disputing the claims via Facebook video. On Saturday, the Army ended up releasing the name of the third pilot, and only woman on the helicopter, Rebecca Loback. She was a distinguished military graduate from the University of North Carolina and remembered by her family and friends as a kind, generous, brilliant, funny, ambitious, and strong woman. She had volunteered in the White House as a social aide, which is like a lovely thing. It's ceremonial. I mean, it's just, here's this woman. Her parents felt the need to withhold her name because they knew that they would get attacked. Because, of course, Aaron, if there's one woman on the Black Hawk, it must have been her fault.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yes, this should be a moment where, you know, we are offering condolences to this pilot, this pilot's family. And you know, in addition to them having to grieve, they're also trying to protect the character, reputation, and accomplishments of their loved one. You know, who tragically died in that crash. It's unfortunate. I mean, I wrote that column, you know, I think it was the Friday before that crash happened. That crash happened on a Sunday, where he was already demeaning and dismissing women, people of color, LGBTQ plus people, as somehow being less qualified, right, to do certain jobs in this country. And so, yeah, that was the climate that was already hanging over this country when this tragedy occurs. So, you know, I could certainly understand why this family had concerns. Again, you saw the disinformation around Joe Ellis, who then had to come out and refute the disinformation, which was running rampant on social platforms that have no filter, also in this new, you know, in this new climate in our politics and in our country. So, you know, I mean, there were three pilots on the plane.
Yep.
Gender is not the reason that this tragedy happened. It is not a factor in why this tragedy happened, but gender is absolutely at play in the reaction to this tragedy.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing that I found the most sort of upsetting, I mean, aside from the horrendousness of the crash itself, was that Sean Duffy, transportation secretary, former road ruler,
So I give people grace. It was his first day on the job. I'm like, look, you know, this is hard. This is terrible. But he did have time. Like, I was going to forgive him not knowing certain things, right? He did have time, though, to memorize some weird, untrue DEI-related shit from the Obama administration where he's like, well, you know, here it is. They have just switched this incident from a rescue, meaning they believed people were still alive, to a recovery mission, which means they don't believe people are still alive. This was what was happening. And he's like, look, Barack Obama, I was like, get his name out of your mouth. There is no, and he tried to, and he just, the thing I just think, if they were able to make their points without lies, I would listen. I'm not going to say I'd agree, but I'd listen. But when he goes back and he's like, Barack Obama said there weren't enough people of, this was almost verbatim. Barack Obama said there weren't enough people of color in the FAA or air traffic control. And so they tried to change the program and they got all these applicants, but they didn't make it through. Really, Sean? Really? Who are all these applicants? But it just, to me, the thing about it is like, Trump being president, I don't agree with his policies, but he's president. The cruelty is the thing. If we're not supposed to be overly outraged about his policies and it's like, we have to just keep going on and we shouldn't take the bait, that's fine. I can't not take the bait when he functionally, if the commander in chief can't have empathy for people who just died, I just don't even know what planet that we're living on. He couldn't even take a beat. He couldn't even take a beat to say, you know, something just, I don't know, not incendiary about what had just happened. But here's an interesting Tammy Duckworth moment. So after Trump mocked the pilot's ability to fly the helicopter, Senator Tammy Duckworth, former Black Hawk pilot, defended them. Quote, she said, every one of those troops that was in that aircraft earned their place there, and they are the most highly trained military aviators in the world. So here's the question, Aaron. How does he benefit from casting doubt on his own military?
Well, I mean, we also know how he feels about service members like Senator Duckworth, mm-hmm. right? I mean, to her point, you and I could not fly a Black Hawk helicopter.
No.
As we sit here today, right?
No.
I mean, this is a hard-ass thing to do. Mm-hmm. This is not something that a lot of people are qualified to do. If whoever was in the cockpit of that Black Hawk had a lot of training, was very qualified, mm-hmm. and absolutely, like, that is a hard job. So mm-hmm. the idea that somehow these folks, like, casting them as incompetent, especially because of gender or because of DEI, like, that's just not... That's such a distraction, and it's also just, I'm sure that there are a lot of service members who maybe felt a way about him questioning the credentials. But again, I mean, we saw this with his Secretary of Defense pick, right? Like, diminishing people's credentials or saying that the focus was on wokeness instead of readiness.
Right.
Right? I mean... This is the climate that our service members are having to operate in right mm-hmm. now. And that, I think that focusing on that and not him trying to make DEI a thing when it is just not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that feels like the more productive exercise. The people on the receiving end of what he is doing and saying and what that means for them.
Yeah, and you know what I want to say? You know how I want to end this little bit of the news?
What you got?
I just want to say, Rebecca, thank you for your service.
Yes.
That's really all he had to say. Rebecca, thank you for your service. So.
And we mourn the loss of everyone
right.
in this crash.
Everyone.
Right?
Yes. It's too bad the president of our country can't say that. But, you know, Aaron, he's very busy. He's got a lot of confirmations on the mind.
I guess so.
As we're recording, Pam Bondi has just been sworn in as Attorney General. Trump said in her swearing in, she'll be as impartial as possible, as humanly possible, and then continued during the official swearing in of the Attorney General to talk about Democrats. So I am feeling hopeful and great. Sworn in by Clarence Thomas, sending a little message to all of us. But yesterday, Tuesday, Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. both moved a step closer to cabinet confirmation. Both voted out of committee, thin margin. If the Senate votes to approve them, they will be our newest Director of National Intelligence and Secretary of Health. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Erin, have you been watching the confirmations?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean,
okay.
We are absolutely—
I need your thoughts.
I mean, these are hugely consequential.
Yes.
Roles.
Right.
Right? And yet, you know, the tenor of some of these hearings, especially you have one side that is trying to, I guess, kind of lay out the stakes of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side that is kind of, you know, joking mm-hmm. with some of these nominees at some points and you know, admonishing people who would raise questions about the very real concerns about these nominees' qualifications for the roles that they are attempting to have. I mean, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, and also, you know, folks whose stances, previous mm-hmm. stances are clearly on the record, right? Suddenly, those stances, not necessarily the case anymore. I mean, the spin that is happening in these hearings, and that's why it's so important to get so much of that on the record,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. it clearly looks like, you know, these people are all on a glide path to being confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so remembering what they had to say and what they have said in the past as they begin to govern and create mm-hmm. policy. Like, it is important to have that on the record and to continue to ask questions, right? Like, the hearing is not the last place for these people to be questioned about
right.
what they have said or are saying or will do.
I got to be honest. So, because, look, I am the most institutionalist nerd on the planet, you know? I love, even though it hurts my heart, I watched everything. I watched all the confirmation hearings.
Yeah.
And here's my problem. So I expected very little from Republicans, of course. But Bill Cassidy, I was actually, like, deeply sad that he had several meetings. For those listening,
yes.
Bill Cassidy's a doctor. He takes his job seriously.
Is he the only doctor in the Senate?
No. There were actually, I think, two others on the committee, but he was the only one sort of, I don't know, concerned about
seriously
RFK.
Seriously concerned, yeah.
He was seriously concerned. And he had such, of every person on the committee, Democrats included, I thought Bill Cassidy's line of questioning was both the most interesting and most damning for RFK. And I wish that Democrats had taken a little bit more of that bait. Like, they had taken more of that line of questioning, because he was asking him how, which also is I think it was Tammy Duckworth did this same tactic in the Pete Hegseth confirmation, which is asking them questions about how their agency would work and
yeah.
how it does work. And I think that is actually, like, when you get Democrats, no judgment, I'm not picking on anyone, but when you get Democrats who go, like, howler monkey level, you know, decibel level, 10 out of 10, screeching things that we've all been reading online, you know, like the unsavory stuff, like when people asked Hegseth, I think it was Tim Kaine who asked Hegseth about his affairs and stuff. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about anybody's affairs. Like, as long as national security, like, at this point we know about his affairs, so he can't be blackmailed about his affairs. So it's like, I don't care that much about it. But knowing that people have even a remote idea about how their agency works.
Yeah.
And
how are you going to do this job?
How are you going to do this job? What is your position on how this particular part of the agency works? Like, Bill,
do you know the difference between Medicaid and Medicare?
And Medicare. Exactly. And so yeah. I thought that was, I genuinely, because remember, Bill Cassidy voted for impeachment for Trump. He was one of the only Republicans. It was like him, Mitt Romney, you know, our two faves, Murkowski and Collins. I think they were the Republicans who voted for impeachment and voted against Trump. But, like, I was really sad when, and Bill Cassidy, but this to your point of holding people to account, Bill Cassidy came out with a statement last night that said, after several conversations, like, he asked RFK over and over again about vaccines. After several conversations, he has reassured me, he has given me comfort that we're going to be okay. Basically,
yeah.
is what he said.
Yeah, I mean, he and was, you know, on the floor of the Senate kind of talking mm-hmm. about what his decision was going to be. And, you know, after raising serious concerns, comes to the conclusion that, okay, this is somebody maybe I can work with. And so I will try to hold him accountable as Health and Human Services Secretary. It's like, Okay. I don't know if Senator Cassidy is going to be able to be a guardrail or somebody that, you know, that RFK would necessarily listen to once he gets his position. But I guess we'll see, right? But yeah, for somebody who was clearly concerned, right, and who clearly had not, you know, went into those hearings on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that to be where he ended up, for that to be, I mean, Senator Joni Ernst and where she ended up
with Hegseth.
I mean, and also, like, these are people, to your point, who are, I mean, they have a unique perspective because of their lived experience,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
To really influence that vote, right? To really influence their colleagues.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, this is you know, and so when they say that they are concerned and yet they're still willing to confirm these folks, I do think that sends a message, and it is worth pointing out. Look, I gotta say, I mean, I certainly learned a lot about what Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s job is gonna be.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a big job.
I mean, under Health and Human Services, by the way, people, the Food and Drug Administration.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do we know if our food is safe? How are we going to know that? And especially as we're seeing agencies shuttered, people fired, you know, a lot of these places are already woefully understaffed. Like, this is going to affect people's lives.
So here's an interesting thing I heard from New Jersey's favorite governor, Chris Christie, is that, so, you know, they're trying to get rid of everybody at the FBI, everybody at DOJ. But one thing that I did not know that he talked about, because he's obviously against 90% of this, is that they're trying to purge all these FBI agents, but it takes 18 months from start to finish to train an FBI agent. So, like, what's going to happen? Like, nobody's going to be there?
Will it still take 18 months?
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
We don't know. We don't know. And also, I mean, just one more thing on the RFK of it all.
Mm-hmm.
What I was struck by in those hearings, so much talk about healthy choices for children.
Oh, don't get me
how
started.
How we need to do better.
Don't get me started.
I'm old enough to remember when a certain first lady, mm-hmm. all she wanted us to do
was eat healthy
and move a little bit more.
Get rid of the food deserts.
And what was the response to that?
Horrible.
Nanny state.
Yes.
Why are you trying to control me?
Mm-hmm. Let me eat my Big Macs.
Yeah. I want to do what I want to do. Garden ripped out of the White House.
I forgot about that. That was awful.
But suddenly, now, healthy choices is back on the table, back on the menu.
Back on the table. One last thing about confirmations. Why does Tulsi Gabbard keep wearing all white? Is it like a weird suffragette troll?
Unclear. But, I mean, I do think, I mean, especially when it comes to women in politics, fashion is absolutely political, and it's sending some message. I don't know what the message is, but there is a message.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more news.
Hysteria is brought to you by Hiya. Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, and I know that firsthand because I once stole a whole thing of kid vitamins when I was very young and hid under the kitchen table and ate them and got in big trouble. Typical kids' vitamins have 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, other gummy additives that kids probably shouldn't eat. That's why Hiya created a super-powered, chewable vitamin. While many children's vitamins are filled with 5 grams of sugar, which is known to contribute to a variety of health issues, Hiya is made with 0 sugar and 0 gummy additives. Yet it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters. I'm just going to say, my 3-year-old is the pickiest human being I have ever met in my entire life. My entire life. Her diet consists of meatballs and mac and cheese. I don't know why meatballs. I think she had a positive meatball experience early in life, and now everything's got to be meatballs. She is super, super picky about things, but she loves taking her Hiya vitamin every morning. She likes taking the green ones. She calls them the alphabet vitamins because she's obsessed with Wicked, and she thinks that eating green things is like Wicked. Maybe I can use that trick to get her to eat vegetables. I feel good about giving them to her because it was formulated with the help of pediatricians and nutritional experts. It is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies and supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immune system, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. It's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine. Every single batch is third-party tested for heavy metals and microbials in a qualified GMP-compliant lab using scientifically validated testing methods, so you know the product is safe and nutritious. It's designed for kids 2 and up, and Hiya is sent straight to your door, so parents have one less thing to worry about. Are you tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens? I absolutely am. Hiya now has Kids Daily Greens and Superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion. Just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. I am going to try this post-haste. I am kind of at the end of my rope with my picky child here. We've worked out a special deal for Hiya with their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/hysteria. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/hysteria and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that cannot avoid the ghost of Phyllis Schlafly. Erin, since Roe was overturned in 2022, 8 states adopted shield laws that legally protect doctors sending abortion pills to women in states with bans. Providers in states with these shield laws have been sending thousands of abortion pills every month to states with abortion bans or restrictions. Now these protective laws are being put to the test. Yes, the great state of Louisiana has indicted Dr. Margaret Carpenter of New York for providing abortion pills to women in their state. These appear to be the first criminal charges against an abortion provider for distributing pills over state lines. If, listeners, you recognize Dr. Carpenter's name, it may be because we discussed her a couple of weeks ago for also facing the first civil suit for providing abortion care by mail by the state of Texas. Dr. Carpenter is a specialist in reproductive health and a co-founder of the Abortion Coalition for Telemedicine. The coalition said in a statement, quote, "This state-sponsored effort to prosecute a doctor providing safe and effective care should alarm everyone." Clock, we are alarmed. The Baton Rouge DA responsible for the case, oh, this is where it gets good. The Baton Rouge DA responsible for the case said, "I just don't know under what theory could a doctor be thinking that you should ship your pills to Louisiana to abort our citizens' babies." Thank you so much, Baton Rouge DA. But New York Governor Kathy Hochul pledged in a video to do everything she can to protect the doctor and allow her to continue the work she's doing, which is so essential. Shield laws have been a saving grace for vulnerable people who have no other way to access reproductive care. And these lawsuits may make or break the future of their efficacy. Erin, what do you think the direction of the future of shield laws is heading?
I mean, that's the whole thing, right? I mean, in the post-Dobbs landscape, right, what will the consequences be for folks? This was absolutely a concern of healthcare providers, of anyone who may be involved in trying to help someone maintain access to reproductive care. Right, so this was the concern, and I think one thing that we do know is the chilling effect that we have seen, and I think that we're going to continue to see. Right, if people don't know what they can't do, right, you know, if they're not sure about what they can do, they're not, you know, that may affect that may just feel like they can't do anything. Which, again, this is life and death for so many people who do need this access. Also, you know, Louisiana, as was mentioned, has absolutely been a test kitchen for, you know, what can happen across the country. So I think we need to continue to look at what is happening at the state level, places like Louisiana, places like Texas, you know, other states that are looking to go even further on restrictions to abortion. Like, what is happening on the ground in these states? I mean, literally your access to care continues to be about where you live. And, you know, if we're seeing that the mail is increasingly becoming a target, you know, that takes this from still being able to have access at the state level mm-hmm. to potentially this federal ban really being in fuller effect.
Which, and just to go back to RFK for a minute, he had one of the better lines of questioning in that hearing was when I think it was Maggie Hassan talked about how RFK, as recently as 2023, had been in New Hampshire talking about how the government should not be in women's bodies.
Yep.
Right?
Again, getting him on the record.
On the record. And then he said he supports Donald Trump's position, right? That is his new position.
And that all abortions are tragic. And
yep.
Yes, like that. Yeah, but that would be that would be a new position.
So any quiet comfort any of us might have had from at least having the understanding that in the past he had been pro-choice, that is gone. He is a fully owned subsidiary now of Donald Trump and MAGA abortion beliefs. And so you mentioned the mail. So I have a question. Some anti-abortion advocates are pushing for the Comstock Act, which we hate, to be used to regulate the mailing of these abortion pills. Erin, is that viable? How would they do that? Are they going to how do they screen for abortion pills?
Yeah. Trying everything seems to be what the strategy is mm-hmm. now. And also, you know, if you have a challenge to the Comstock Act that can make it to the Supreme Court, well, who knows how that's going to go? You know, who knows how they would rule and what that would mean for the future of medication abortion through the mail.
I just can't. I can't. They will stop.
And yet we are.
It is the, you know, in the first term, we said it all the time, the cruelty is the point. Mm-hmm. That's a through line this time, too. The cruelty is the point. Except now they're much more organized than they were in 2017. And they know a little bit more of what they're doing. And they have groups on the outside who are quite concerning. For example, I did not know about the group Students for Life. But I went down the rabbit hole. Now I know a little too much. Very professional website for a group of students, just saying. But this has been flying under the radar a little bit. The Students for Life has quietly been a years-long campaign to weaponize environmental policy against medication abortion. How does that make sense? Let me tell you. Our friend Jessica Valenti has been at the forefront of reporting this story. Back in 2022, a petition started asking the FDA to require any doctor who prescribes a medication abortion to be responsible for disposing of the fetal tissue as medical waste instead of just flushing it down the toilet by the patient. Okay? Many at-home abortions done in the first trimester are largely like a very heavy period.
Yeah. Okay?
So the petition, which the FDA went on to reject, claimed, with flimsy evidence, that trace amounts of abortion drugs in wastewater could have damaging effects on wildlife and livestock, even though the FDA had already studied the environmental impacts of the drugs back in 1996. So over the past year, Students for Life has worked to introduce bills in Oklahoma, Arizona, Idaho, Maine, West Virginia, and Wyoming. The vice president of the organization said, quote, "Environmental law has teeth. It already exists, and frankly, I'm for using the devil's own tools against them." So, Erin, it looks like conservatives are not even trying to hide that they only care about the environment when it directly serves them.
Climate change, indeed.
Okay. So, RFK loves the environment. He loves the environment. It's his whole thing. It's, like, actually the only good thing about him. But do you think that his FDA, if he is confirmed next week, do you think his FDA will reconsider the demands of the Students for Life?
You know, I think it probably will depend on whether Students for Life can get the attention of the president, right?
Right.
Because you've got RFK basically following his lead, particularly on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be interesting to see that. But, I mean, like, we know that there has been a history, particularly in this post-Dobbs landscape, of attempting to criminalize,
right?
Miscarriages, basically. I'm thinking about Brittany Watts out of Ohio, who was arrested, after passing a fetus in her bathroom and trying to flush her remains down the toilet. Like, you know, she's had a miscarriage, and you know, to add insult to, you know, this traumatic incident that happens for her, You know, she was prosecuted and criminalized. Mm-hmm. So, and again, that is meant to send a message that is meant to have a chilling effect for people. The environmental aspect of this, again, you have folks that are trying, they're trying a lot of different things to see what will work, to see what can work, to see what can advance. I wonder, like you said, I mean, this was hashed out in the 90s, like the environmental impact of these drugs, probably when a lot of these students were very young or maybe not even here.
Not even born.
So I think we've already seen that, you know, precedent certainly doesn't mean anything in this environment.
Right. And you know what they love, Aaron? They love doing people dirty so that they sue or they get sued. And then you have people, normal people, a person who just wants their mifepristone now has to have a lawyer and pay thousands of dollars to fight this in court. You know, it is like, it is a, just watching, they're not afraid to try anything because they don't give a shit if it ends up in court.
Well, and what are the consequences now? I don't know.
They're like, they're like, let's just figure out a way to get it in front of Judge Kaczmarek down in Texas in the Fifth Court. It'll be right up at the Supreme Court in no time. Like, that is the thing that, like, if there is one thing I feel like we can do to help in this time when we feel helpless, it's like, dear people, if you are being sued by Donald Trump, please set up your GoFundMe and let us help you pay your legal bills. Like, that is, in a time where action feels hard, I feel like that's something that we can actually do. But before we move on, I wanted to read, just so that we have a before and after, read a statement from the FDA from earlier this month before Trump was president. From the FDA, quote, the petition offers, this was the petition based on from the Students for Life, the petition offers only conjecture that remnants of mifepristone in the nation's water system are causing unknown harm to citizens and animals alike. This, the FDA goes on to note that Students for Life's 2023 petition itself provides no evidence showing that bodily fluid from patients who have used mifepristone, one-time single-dose product, is causing harm to the nation's aquatic environment. Wouldn't this be true of, like, any medication? This is what I don't get. And this is where I'm like, how have they gotten this far? Any of us who take a medicine, we pee some of it out. Some medications anyway. I mean, like, I know I pee out my B12 that I don't absorb every day. So, like, how are we – then wouldn't you have to test every – like, it is – it's just so disingenuous. It's so fucked up. I hate it. I hate it so much. And you know what else they're setting themselves up for? They want to sue the drug companies. They want to sue Danco and Gen BioPro and the FDA to try to make their case. I just feel like everyone's trying to get famous off some really dumb shit.
Well, or, I mean, again, if even if, you know, they're not able to be successful, they can at least try to slow things down, right? Try to gum up the works in the meantime. And how many people will be affected in the meantime while this is playing out, while maybe there is some kind of new, let's just verify that these drugs, you know, are not harmful or are, you know, or maybe they are harmful and that last study just wasn't right. You know, just raising new doubts about things that have already been researched, studied, evaluated, that just buys more time, right, for this cause.
Right. So Another quick hit in the healthcare space. So Donald Trump and his people have been just scrubbing websites. I've never seen people busier doing weird technology than these guys. But this week, they came for reproductive health, privacy, and discrimination at pharmacies information on the HHS website. Friend of Hysteria, Jess Valenti, who's been very, very busy the past couple of weeks, discovered the information related to HIPAA protections was scrubbed and speculated in her newsletter, Abortion Every Day, that this might be a sign of Trump's plans to allow pharmacists to deny women prescriptions for birth control based on their personal beliefs and roll back privacy protections on abortion records. So just quick one for listeners. HIPAA is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. It's a federal law protecting private health information. And under Biden, HHS actually expanded HIPAA protections to bar healthcare and insurance providers from sharing reproductive health data that could be used in criminal or civil cases against abortion patients or providers. So this is what they're going after. But here's my question for you, as someone who reported so much on the 2024 election, The election kind of proved abortion's popular. People think it should exist, even in the reddest of the states. Florida, they didn't get to 60% to enshrine Amendment 4. They got to 57%, and Donald Trump only got 56%. So that, to me, feels popular. Why are they making these changes? What are they hoping for?
I mean, this is not about the will of the people. I mean, this is not about what the American people want. This is about what folks in this, you know, certain folks in or around this administration want to do, or groups that are trying to continue to restrict access to abortion want to do. And so that is the constituency that this responds to, right? And, you know, it's interesting. We're having a conversation around, you know, a lot of conversation around privacy and data and access right now as things are being scrubbed and as unelected folks are getting access to data from the American people. Like, you know, HIPAA was, you know, inviolate, you know, you know, until very recently.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, this is gendered, like what information people would have access to, like that is gendered, and that must be called out, pointed out.
Right.
And we have to ask questions about what, you know, why is this happening now?
Why is it happening now? Well, listeners, stay tuned. We will be tracking all of the HIPAA news. We have another break. We will be right back.
Hysteria is brought to you by Books. Folks, Valentine's Day is not the time to wing it. You need a solid game plan. Send foolproof flowers from the Books company and wow your Valentine and get 25% off your entire purchase. Books makes it simple. Books makes it simple. Choose the Quickie Book. With the click of a button, get their best-selling bouquet right on time for Valentine's Day. It's the quickie she'll brag about for weeks. I hope that there are not other kinds of quickies she is bragging about, because in many environments, that would be inappropriate. But it is appropriate to brag about a quickie bouquet. Or go for their flower subscription, the number one husband life hack. Honestly, it's also a daughter life hack. I got my mom a flower subscription 1 year for Christmas. So every month she got a bouquet and she loved it. And it gave her an excuse and me an excuse to chat about it. And it was just a nice way to brighten up her life. And I guess, like, if you're a husband or wife and you want to brighten up a flower-loving person in your life, that's another thing you can do. Books aren't just any flowers. Their flowers are cut fresh from where they grow best, so you get bigger, brighter blooms that last longer. Some are even grown on the side of a volcano. She'll be blown away by how stunning they are. Valentine's Day is February 14th, which is right after the big game. I don't know what game you're talking about. So don't fumble the flowers. Get your order in now. If you're listening to this, as soon as you're done listening to the episode, I'm going to give you an assignment. You're going to take care of Valentine's Day. You need to take care of it now. It's too late. If you get into February, you got to get it in, just take care of it now, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. And you will not get in, you know, you won't be in a last minute situation. Go to Books.com. Use my promo code Hysteria for 25% off. That's Books.com, promo code Hysteria. Books, promo code Hysteria.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no-bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to. Journalists, politicians, experts, comedians and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that is rooting for the Eagles. And when we say Eagles, we really mean Jalen Hurts. Go Birds!
Go Birds.
Go Birds. One last horror story here before we get to talk about the people's princess, Jalen Hurts. Eternal, this fucking guy, Elon Musk. I gotta tell you, Aaron, I am exhausted by this man. Like, exhausted. I have deleted X off of my phone. I can't take it. But this one was like, I was like, what is this? This is crazy. So Elon Musk is officially a special government employee.
Yeah.
Okay. So they said he was going to work outside, but yet another non-truth. Listeners, in case you want to know what that means, it means he's been appointed to work with the federal government as an advisor or consultant. Most SGEs in government have pretty specific and limited remits. As an example, over the years, the Department of Justice SGEs have included attorneys with the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund. SGEs are subject to some federal ethics rules, but exempt from some. They also cannot work more than 130 days within a 365-day period. So, just want everyone to know the rules around SGEs. Conflicts of interest are a big no-no. Say, like, bringing in an SGE who owns an EV company and controls one of the biggest media platforms in the world, poking around Treasury and demanding access to our secure financial system seems like definitely not what the employment class of SGE was designed for. As such, he's been getting his sticky fingers all over the government. He has taken to treating the Office of Personnel Management like one of his tech companies. In fact, a team of aides made up in part by his current and former employees, some who aren't even old enough to drink, have taken control of the agency and so far have installed sofa beds to encourage employees to work round the clock. Now, listen, I love listening to Kara Swisher talk about Elon Musk because she always tells the story about how back at Tesla or X, whatever it all was, he would bring in these like cots and sleeping bags and he would make everybody sleep and he would sleep there, even though it was like so performative because there was a hotel right next door. Anyway, he has revoked civil servants' access to vital data systems and sent out memos encouraging employees to take buyouts. Just take the buyout. But what else would you expect from a cartoon supervillain who came to life? According to the government, about 20,000 federal employees have already agreed to the buyout. Now, the unions are telling people, don't take the buyout, don't take the buyout. But I understand it. But also, if I were near retirement, I would 100% take the buyout. Like, I would not do anything that would jeopardize, you know, people. It is the upside of federal employment, right? It's like you get good health care and you get a good retirement plan.
Yeah.
And you don't put in the 20 years that it takes to get close, or however many years, I think it's like 20, and then roll the dice that things might be okay with someone who has no respect for any of the work that you've done. So beyond that, USAID, so I have received several communications from USAID employees who have been told they'll be put on leave Friday with few exceptions. A Hysteria listener wrote in to say she saw her leadership escorted out of USAID last week. She has been furloughed, but her biggest concern with aid halted, she said, quote, I'm scared someone is going to get hurt. She's not wrong. As part of the wholesale house cleaning they've been doing, PEPFAR, the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief, started by President Bush, has saved over 25 million lives and has had strong bipartisan support for 10 Congresses and 4 presidents. PEPFAR is now also in jeopardy. So as we were starting to record, little breaking news, CIA employees have now been offered a buyout. Okay? It's the CIA. So, Aaron, when do you think congressional oversight's going to kick in?
Good question. I mean, especially since, I mean, we're talking about buyouts. Like, how is that going to work? Where is that money? Whose money?
Oh, that's your taxpayer money. That's your taxpayer money.
I mean, Congress doesn't control the purse strings anymore.
They do.
I mean, my civics is a little rusty, but I seem to recall that is how that is supposed to work. So, like, just, you know, offering buyouts, you know, is that even something that they can do?
I have not heard of golden parachutes in government.
Okay, just wondering about that. I mean, but yeah, I mean, you do have Elon Musk basically in our federal government and operating much in the same way that he operated when he took over Twitter. And we see how well that's going. Not well. So yeah, I once again, I mean, I certainly appreciate, you know, your explanation of what a special government employee is. But I think that what we're already seeing is, you know, rules, norms don't apply here. Right. And
right.
And that there is a redefining of what they decide a special government employee is going to be. Will he even be beholden to this 130-day threshold for work?
Or
will the goalpost be moved and then all of a sudden maybe he's not a special government employee but yet is still doing things on behalf of the federal government? Is that okay? Yeah, where is congressional oversight? Where is Congress as an independent branch of government, period, as all of this is happening? I think that is a very important question.
It is. And like, luckily, I mean, there's like a small glimmer of hope. There are unions. There's the National Treasury Employees Union. There's the American Federation of Government Employees. And AFGE is saying loud and proud, federal employees should know that approved union contracts are enforceable by law and the president does not have the authority to make unilateral changes to those agreements. AFGE members will not be intimidated if our contracts are violated. We will aggressively defend them. But see, that's where you get into it again, defending them. So you have government employees who have a contract and they've been fired because Trump doesn't care, even though, I don't know, I think a lot of union members voted for Trump. So if I were a union member who voted for Trump, I'd care if he doesn't care about your contracts, it turns out. That's all a lie. But he is now going to make people spend their own money to try to get their jobs back. And that is just the through line of sort of, you know, because when I read this stuff, Aaron, like, you know, I cared so much about being a public servant. I cared so much about the people in this country. And I blessedly worked for a man who really, when he became president, saw himself as the president of all of America. You know, when we got letters from people, we didn't like check their zip code and see like who they might have voted for or where their district went for. Like that shit didn't happen. So this is all very upsetting. I feel horribly for my fellow public servants. The question is, though, like, J.D. Vance just out there writing checks his body can't cash, to quote Top Gun. But do you think do you think J.D. Vance is, like, jealous of Elon?
You know, I don't know that he saw the vice presidency, you know, on his bingo card for 2025, but here he is, right? So, like, the press conference with Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oh.
And he like, you know, points to J.D. and makes the vice president, you know, stand up and wave. And so, you know, I don't know, maybe and says, you know, how involved he has been in those negotiations and so gives him a little credit there, pat on the head. So I guess, you know, maybe this is working out for him. I don't know. But you know who it's not working out for? All the folks who were getting USAID help around the globe.
Who, absolutely,
you know, now will not get that help because Elon Musk says that agency is criminal. This was, I don't know how much the American people even knew about what USAID was doing around the world, but I don't think that it was a criminal enterprise.
No. And you know, the funny thing is, if you see something and you're like, you know what, there might be a little bloat in that organization. Right? Then you just go do an audit. Go do an audit. I don't care. You know what else? It's kind of what inspectors general are for.
Who?
Those people. The ones who got fired last week.
I was going to say, do we still have any of those?
It's a funny thing. It seems like so many of the problems they've identified actually had solutions and mechanisms in place for them to actually get to the bottom. But I think that what we see is that they're not interested in learning how to fix problems. They just want to raise the whole place. They want to burn it to the ground. And, you know, I will say, Trump's ability to control the media, I mean, doing that press conference, I had my day at work yesterday. On my Zooms, ran out, ran errands, come home. He made sure that press conference was prime time.
Yeah.
Yep. He made sure, at least East Coast, he made sure that people were sitting home, doing their dishes, having dinner, when he made a bunch of insane declarations from behind the podium with Benjamin Netanyahu, which, you know, I mean, I keep saying we've got to pace ourselves, but it's really fucking hard.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and there are things
that he absolutely wants us paying attention to, mm-hmm. and maybe things that
he doesn't want us to pay attention to. But you know what? We're going to find a little joy. And that's why we have a new segment we're calling In Lighter News. And this week's In Lighter News is about the Super Bowl. Now, yes. Am I a hardcore sports fan? No. But I love good stories. Miracle about the 1980 hockey team is my favorite movie of all time. and as fellow Pisces, that game happened on February 22nd, 1980, when America beat Russia up in Lake Placid. I love it. But today we're going to talk about the Eagles. The Eagles, Super Bowl Sunday is coming up.
Yes.
And though we know the Swifties are all about the Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, we have our hearts set on Jalen Hurts, the quarterback for the Eagles. Sure, he's a great player, but I'm an even bigger fan of what he's up to off the field. Behind Hurts' success is his all-female management team, led by his agent, Nicole Lynn, who has helped get him one of the highest-paying contracts in the league. And last year, when Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker went viral for his deeply misogynistic commencement for Benedictine College, Hurts spoke up a week later at a women's football festival, saying his priority is to advocate for women to get the respect they deserve, not just in football, but in every situation. We rarely ever say this to men, but Jalen, you are welcome on Hysteria anytime.
Let me know when that episode is happening.
I promise you will be here for it.
Right.
Tell me, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Are you going to watch this weekend?
Yes.
Do you want the birds to fly? Tell me everything.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Absolutely. I mean, look, as somebody who lived in Philadelphia for the better part of the last decade, like I mean, you cannot help but catch Eagles fever. And I mean, yes, Super Bowl victories don't hurt. And I did not, climb a greased pole before. But, you know, who knows? There's still time. They could win this weekend. And, we'll see. But listen, I mean, if you were not already an Eagles fan, and honestly, like, these fans, like, their fandom is contagious. Like, they get on board. Like,
it, my husband bought a new jersey for this weekend, okay? And my, I have lots of Eagles gear, but my new hoodie just showed up. So we're going to have new gear for the Super Bowl.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you. But, like, if you need a reason to root for the Eagles this weekend, people, Jalen Hurts is your reason to root. I mean, because why? Because this man roots for you.
He does.
All women team around him, like, this is a team that he is taking with him into the Super Bowl. This is the team that helps him be successful. And he is vocal about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he rides for women, which I can appreciate. So, like, yes, he is my quarterback, but he's also my quarterback off the field, which I appreciate.
And, you know, Nicole Lynn, when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, Nicole Lynn became the first Black woman to represent a quarterback in the NFL, in the Super Bowl. And I was just like, oh, my God, it's 2025. But you know what?
It's 2025. Yes. Alyssa, only 5% of NFL agents are women. So,
wrote a book. Nicole Lynn wrote a book, and I ordered it because I want to know her story.
Yes. Yes, if you're still looking for Valentine's gifts out there, people, Nicole Lynn's book is
go get Nicole Lynn's book. Okay, lastly, before we take a quick break, Trey Howard is a 10-year-old boy who was on the scene during the horrific plane crash in Philadelphia last week. He used his body to protect his siblings. Mm. He was rushed to the hospital because he suffered a head wound from a piece of metal debris. And when he woke up from brain surgery, his first words were about the Eagles. He said, "Daddy, what's today?" And his father assured him that they hadn't missed the Super Bowl.
Priorities.
So this is my call to action. Eagles, do something for this boy and his family if you have not already. He is a little tiny hero. He is adorable. He is all over social media in his Eagles jersey. So someone do something nice for Trey.
Shout out to little Trey. I mean,
honestly, the goodest boy.
Do I want him in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, or do I want him in Philadelphia for victory night?
I want him to have victory night, but maybe but they could send him like a cute little care package.
They could.
Because he might still be in the hospital. The little boy had head surgery.
Grand Marshal for the parade.
Grand Marshal for the parade!
That's my vote.
Yeah, okay. I vote I vote for that too. I hope everyone is listening to us. Maybe the 19th can do a little article on it.
Bring him back some beads, please.
Bring him some beads and send him a nice new hoodie and then make him the Grand Marshal of the parade. Fingers crossed. Okay, we'll be right back with Sani Petty.
Hysteria is brought to you by Rocket Money. Did Rocket Money find any subscriptions you forgot about or any you paid twice for and didn't realize it? Yes, absolutely. Rocket Money found something that I had been paying for years that was designed for a piece of equipment that I had left on an airplane. There was a specific type of tablet that I had and a subscription on that tablet, and I was still paying for it for, like, years. And I hope that if somebody found the tablet that they enjoy the subscription that was on it. Because I sure didn't, because I didn't even have my tablet. The start of a new year is a perfect time to get organized, set goals, and prioritize what matters most. For me, a top priority is financial wellness, which feels more important than ever. Thanks to Rocket Money, my goals feel achievable. They show me all my subscriptions right in one place and help me easily cancel ones that I forgot I've been paying for. Rocket Money also pulls together all of my spending across all of my different accounts so I can clearly track my spending habits and see where I can cut back. You sign up for something, forget about it after the trial period ends, then you're charged month after month after month. The subscriptions are there, but you're not using them. In fact, I just learned that 85% of people have at least one paid subscription going unused each month. Thanks to Rocket Money, I can see all my subscriptions in one place and cancel the ones I'm not using anymore. And now I'm saving more money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. That is like two nice pair of shoes and one like super, super nice pair of shoes. Like, I need new shoes. I will use the money that I save through Rocket Money, not paying for subscriptions, to buy shoes that are not physically falling apart. Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/hysteria today. That's rocketmoney.com/hysteria, rocketmoney.com/hysteria.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no-bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to, journalists, politicians, experts, comedians and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that was fucking thrilled to see the photo of Taylor Swift and Bob Weir together at the Grammys. First, I love the 10-minute version, but I've loved Bob Weir my whole life. And seeing two icons together, I couldn't get enough. I enjoyed the shit out of that. Okay, so first, some announcements for the class. There's a ton of rage bait in the news right now meant to distract and overwhelm us. But today, we'd like to focus on something positive, the work being done to fight back and what you can do to help. This month, Vote Save America is making donations as part of their anxiety relief program to Black-led organizations and candidates of color, helping us gain ground at the state and local level. Like Janelle Bynum, Oregon's first Black Congress member who won her district by less than 12,000 votes in 2024 and is in a must-win re-election bid that could determine whether Democrats take back the House. Set up a recurring donation at any amount that feels right to you, and Vote Save America will use it to build progressive power in 2025 and beyond. Go to votesaveamerica.com/donate to donate now. Paid for by Vote Save America. Votesaveamerica.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. If your only Grammys takeaway is gifts of Beyoncé looking confused, you've barely scratched the surface. On the latest Keep It, Ira and Lewis break down everything from the award show. Then Edward Norton joins to talk A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan movie, which is excellent, not the future of democracy. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube. Now let's get to Sani Petty. Okay, Aaron. It's Black History Month, you may have heard. So we're going to do a little Black History Month-themed Sani Petty. How do you feel about that?
I love it.
Okay. You can go. Why don't you go first?
Love Black History Month. P.S. Don't need permission to have to celebrate Black History Month, just so everybody knows. Black History Month is still a thing. It was a thing before our federal government recognized it. It will continue to be a thing. I posted about, because we were thinking about women pilots in this country and their contribution to this country. And so Bessie Coleman came to mind for me. Bessie was a pioneering African-American aviator. She became the first Black woman to earn a pilot's license. And, I mean, this is somebody who was born in the 19th century, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and she obviously... to get to where she got, faced racial discrimination, faced gender discrimination, but she was undeterred. She had to go to France to get her pilot's license. Aviation schools refused to train Black students, but she went to France in 1920 and earned her license. And so, I mean, Bessie Coleman is somebody whose legacy is just so inspiring, and she, you know, just really flew above the odds and continues to inspire generations of people, you know, whether you're trying to be, whatever you're trying to be, look to somebody like Bessie Coleman to show you, you know, what is possible and how to make a way when the way seems blocked. Like that is the lesson I took from her story. So Bessie Coleman is my
Bessie Sani. Coleman. I wanted to talk about someone who brings me deep joy and has my whole life. I don't mean my adult life. I mean since I was just like little. Aaron, I fucking love Debbie Allen.
Oh my gosh, who doesn't?
Okay, yes. I love Debbie Allen. I, for years, had a framed picture of her from Fame, TV show of 1982 is when Fame came out. I was like six. And in my house, there wasn't like children's programming. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I watched, maybe during the day, there was a little Magic Garden and Mr. Rogers, of course. But when the adults were home and it was dinner time, we sat down, we watched the news, and then we watched adult programming.
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote.
A lot
at
of
like
Murder,
6 years old.
A lot of All in the Family, MASH, I mean, all the shows. And so when Fame came out, I started watching Fame. And there is nothing like when the theme song, Irene Cara, God bless, comes on. Fame, you know, they don't have these anymore. Like the introduction to the show. Like, remember, there used to be theme songs, and there would be like little, right? And
I'll be listening to my favorite thing, just a detour. My favorite theme song comes back on this weekend, White Lotus.
White Lotus.
Yeah. I'm just looking to grasp onto things that are on the horizon. So, like, I need.
You know what? My old school pal, Parker Posey, is in it this year. And Mike White said that, did you read Mike White's little, like, teaser?
No.
That while he understands people are going to miss Jennifer Coolidge, that there are characters who have sought to take, not sought, but who fill that sort of, like, crazy.
No, we'll see.
We'll see.
Can't out crazy
but
Jennifer
they
Coolidge.
But he said it's the darkest one yet. That scares me.
Well,
because I thought the others were a bit.
They were pretty dark. But to your point, like, and Fame was on at a time where you couldn't skip through the intro. So, like, you were getting that theme. Every time that theme song was part of the Fame experience.
Part of what it was. And it's like when Leroy would dance.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
But it was funny because I desperately, you may not know this about me, I love to dance. I love to dance. Tap, jazz. I was never very good at ballet. But my sister, I had the enthusiasm. My sister, who listens to the pod, hey Moose, she is an extraordinary dancer. And I just remember, like, she was real little when Fame came on. She was only like two. And we would just like sit down. She was like all chunky. And we would watch them dance and everything. And like, but on top of that, Like, Debbie Allen is just fucking extraordinary. And yes. I feel like people don't understand the breadth of everything she's done. She's been nominated 20 times for an Emmy. She's won 5. She's been nominated for 2 Tony Awards. She's won a Golden Globe. Also, don't sleep on her sister, Mrs. Huxtable, Felicia Rashad, who was most recently the dean at Howard University's College of Fine Arts. So, like, I just, you know, Debbie Allen, she directed, I think, half of the episodes for A Different World, one of my favorite shows growing up. And in 2008, she directed the all-African-American Broadway production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof with James Earl Jones, and she still has her Debbie Allen Dance Academy.
Yeah, and at 75, is still killing it. She's still dancing. Like, she's a badass.
She is, and I just want to end this episode with my favorite quote from her, from Fame. Are you ready?
Ready.
You want fame? Well, fame's going to cost you. And right here's where you start paying in sweat. Ah, I love it. I would watch that all the time when I needed to get hyped up in the White House. When I was like, oh, you want it? Well, you're going to start right now. Right now is when you start. So
I love that Debbie Allen was your hype woman for all things in life. Maybe we need a little Debbie. We all need a little Debbie Allen hype.
I'm telling you, there's some episodes on YouTube. I think it's on FUBU. But every now and again, I find an episode and I just, I'm sorry. I think television was a little bit better back then. And also, Fame, highly inclusive show.
Highly inclusive.
Have to hope Donald Trump doesn't try to do it dirty and like scrub it from the internet. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Erin Haynes. I can't wait to have you back next week. And listeners, we'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Have a great week.
Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to, journalists, politicians, experts, comedians, and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.